Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Your package says delivered, but delivered where exactly? The hallway? The lobby? Your neighbor's apartment? Instead of playing detective with your deliveries, get a mailbox at the UPS store. We'll sign for your packages, text you when they arrive, and keep your deliveries low-key under lock and key. Get 3 months free mailbox services with a new annual agreement at the UPS store. For full details and to get your coupon, visit theupsstore.com/offer.
All right, on today's episode of Nothing Major, Serena Williams is back. We also got results from the first grass court tournaments of the season. Let's get going.
Jack Jones, Stevie and Sam, got close a few times, never won a slam, nothing major.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I've got Stevie, John with a beautiful background, myself with a normal background, Charlie Fox, the team at SIFT. Before we start, I do think we need to address something awkward from the last two episodes. Isner was eating on the last two episodes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people took offense to it, like a lot. That was the only YouTube comments we got. I feel like it's a little bit ridiculous. Do you want to apologize, or do you have a statement prepared or anything?
I have a statement. Okay. I texted the group chat. Charlie alerted me to this. I was not really paying attention and said I was getting roasted in the comments. And so I go to YouTube and sure enough, I was getting roasted. We do check the comments, everyone. I probably shouldn't have done it. At the same time, I was starving.
When you're hungry, you're hungry.
And I was getting hangry. I was with Sam in Paris. Stevie, as you know, Sam can just not eat dinner and be totally fine. I'll say this. I probably shouldn't have done it. All right. The sound of someone chewing. I thought I was muting successfully. When it was not my turn to talk, I thought I was muting pretty well, you know. But then I was going like this to eat it, and it wasn't the best look. It wasn't the best look.
I didn't think it was that big a deal, but our
listeners. But I'm not going so far to apologize. I will just say I shouldn't have done it, you know, in retrospect, but I was hangry.
Maybe just you needed a softer food, that you didn't need as much chewing.
That's a good point.
Nice porridge.
A little mushy. Yeah.
Let's start talking about tennis.
Hey, so I got a question on your background, Sam. So at this stage, with that water, you're not going to ever drink that water, right? Because you want it centered in your background?
I've got a bunch water. More. I replenish it in the background.
Oh, okay.
With the Lunin, gotcha. Yeah.
All right, never mind. All right, go on.
He's got another Christmas party in 2026 he's got to work towards.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the trendiest water. It's at Erewhon. All the celebs are drinking it. You seen that?
Is it glass or plastic?
It's glass. But like if you go like Haley.
That's glass?
Yeah.
Oh, that is trendy.
Like Hailey Bieber and like all these people drink it and me.
Is that like a $14 bottle right there?
I don't know how much the bottle costs, but
all right.
I get it for free.
You know what they say? The rich and famous never have to pay for anything. You know, it's like, you know, the courtside seat at the Knicks, right? Like you think Timothy Chalamet.
None of them are paying for that.
Exactly, just like Sam and his water.
Right, just like the, you know, all the celebs at the DMV, the different different way of getting their license. All right, let's talk about tennis. A handful of grass court tournaments this week. We're going to start with Stuttgart. Ben Shelton takes out Taylor Fritz, a rematch from Dallas. Shelton in this event, look at his scores. He took out Garone, then Shimabukuro, then Lehecka, then Fritz. His first round, he won 7-6 in the third, what saves a match point. And then against Shimabukuro, 6-4 in the third. Then he beat Lehecka 6-7, 7-6, 7-6, including a 16-14 in the breaker. Then he took out Fritz in three. Stevie, are you surprised Shelton won this tournament, given the fact that he won Munich on clay, but then he lost first round Madrid, first round Rome, second round Stuttgart, second round Roland Garros? He had a bad 5 month stretch prior to this.
He's just had an up and down year. I think it was just we've talked about it before. It was a bit of a bummer that he kind of got, he was sick at, you know, Indian Wells, Miami, where you really feel like the Americans kind of would shine right in those two big Master Series events in the States. But Then on the clay, wins Munich. You're like, okay, all things are right in the Ben Shelton world. And then just doesn't have, you know, a strong French Open. But here, it was a good week for both those guys, Fritz and Shelton. They both needed good weeks just to kind of kick off their grass season. Both probably assuming like that's a great chance for them to win a slam, right, at Wimbledon. So to try and get as quickly to get some momentum as quickly as possible is key. And he didn't do it pretty. He didn't do it easily, but he got the job done. And that's what I think Ben does really well. I mean, same with Taylor on the other side in the final. These guys don't need to play their best tennis. They compete extremely well, and they got the job done when they needed to. And again, it's tricky because you're not going to play your best tennis on grass first week. I just don't think many guys outside of maybe Mannarino is like itching for grass like 49 weeks a year to like get back to it. So it's a good week. He didn't play great, and he won a title, and he beat a great competitor in Fritz in the final. So maybe not his best stuff, but trending in the right direction.
Yeah, Isner, he's got that clutch gene, like saving match point in the first one against Giron. That Lehechka match, it was 6-7, and then it was 7-6, 16-14 in the breaker.
It's crazy.
The second set, and then the third set was 7-6, I believe like 8-6 in the breaker. And then like Fritz, he just gets it done in the end. All single Fritz, by the way. That's his only second or third tournament as a single guy. He needed this win, I think, not only for his tennis, but just, you know, he's back on the dating world. Dating, you know, looks good on the resume. Pop a little final.
It looks really good to make a 250 final in Stuttgart. Add that to his profile.
Right. The ladies love that.
But Stevie said it really well with Ben. I mean, clearly he wasn't playing his best tennis going into Stuttgart, and he wasn't confident going into Stuttgart. How can you be confident, right, after losing early in Madrid, in Rome, in Roland Garros? And his compete was just off the charts, right? He could have easily gone out against Garon in his first match. He could have easily gone out his second match. And the Lehechka match was ridiculous. So his ability to just gut through all that when, in all likelihood, he wasn't feeling that great on the court. But you know how it is. First week on grass, it's the worst. The practices are terrible. You get off the practice court and you're like, the ball feels awful. I can't move. At least in my case, Sam, you are an unbelievable mover on grass. But like every time I would play one of those grass court warmups, I'm like, I can't stand this. The ball feels terrible. Yes, I'm a bot. I can serve, but everything else feels so bad. So I mean, everyone was dealing with that, right? But he just competed so well, saved so many match points. He played two matches in one day at some point, or was one of them a continuation?
Two different times he had to continue like that.
Exactly. So, I mean, like what he was able to pull off was unbelievable. And then when he got to the finals, it's like, all right, I've done all the hard work just to get to this point. And he obviously played his best match in the finals against Fritzy. As you mentioned, a rematch of the Dallas final, another three-setter. Unbelievable effort from Ben. Stevie said trending in the right direction. He absolutely is trending in the right direction, and he is going to be a super tough out at Wimbledon. But to be able to do what he did on grass first week, when matches are inherently close, right? Guys ranked 60 can always compete with guys in the top 10 on grass. Just people are holding serve easy, much easier on that surface. Was very well done.
This year he's won Dallas indoor hard, he won Munich outdoor clay, and now he's won Stuttgart on grass. Pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Only other guy I can think to win three different titles in the same year would be myself back in 2010.
But, three different surfaces, you mean?
Three different surfaces.
Yeah.
It's not done too often. I mean,
No. And we're only halfway done through the year, so we'll see how many more titles he wins. One more thing on this match. I don't know how much you guys watched it. I caught the whole third set of the Fritz final and all the highlights. Shelton played a ton of drop shots against Fritz. And remember, Roland Garros, Bastavaretti played a ton of drop shots against Fritz. Stevie, is that something like Fritz needs to address?
Yes. I mean, it doesn't help that it's the two hardest surfaces to then get up there and kind of feel comfortable while you're moving, right? A lot of the times you can kind of see Fritz not get a confident first step to get up to those drop shots against Shelton, but it's a play. It's out there. People will now be using it more against him, you know, and for him, I just think you've got to find a way early in the match to like just win a couple of those early ones, like maybe be closer to the baseline, even if it's uncomfortable for the first 10, 15 minutes of the match, stand super close on return, just closer to the baseline to then take away that. Because if they do it early and it doesn't work, you're going to go away from it as an opponent. So he's just got to find a way to kind of get that done early in the match and move on. But it's an issue at the moment. But look, he's a top 10, top five guy. Like, he will figure it out, and that will, that door will close soon, I would assume.
I don't know. I mean, no one's ever said Taylor Fritz has the best hands in the world, right? Like the softest, silkiest hands. And so when that drop shot is thrown in there, and leave it to me to make, you know, criticize someone's movement getting a drop shot, but he doesn't have that ability to redrop, right? A lot of players have that ability to hit the redrop. Sam, you were actually really good at that.
Thank you.
The redrop. Sam was good at the redrop.
Yeah, the backhand.
And but Taylor, he's got one play, and that's he shovels it up the line, and then he's at the net. He's not the best volleyer. It's a very good play against him. It is something he needs to work on, but I don't think it's something he can just nip in the bud like that. It's just not so natural for him to move up and then play a quick volley when he's this far from the net, because he can be lobbed. You know, a lot of players can do so much if they hit a successful drop shot, one that he can kind of barely get to.
No, but do you guys think, though, like, I agree with that, but if he can win a couple points early, like, guys will go away from that strategy because they're like, oh, it didn't work, you know, and then in crunch time, they haven't done it. Or is it different now with the coaching from the sideline where, like, the coach can still then tell them it's still there, use it in the big moments?
I think if you look at the analytics over the course of a match, if you have a good dropper, yes, Taylor might win some early. I don't think that's going to, you know, make guys too shy from hitting that shot.
Yeah, he's also – Taylor hits the ball so hard, it's hard to hit drop shots off his basic rally ball. That's And he knows that too. All right, let's move on to S. Hertogenbosch. Real quick, they shouldn't be allowed to have a start in name. Hertogenbosch.
But it's also it's called like five different things. Then it's called a Den Bosch, and then it's called the Rossmalen Open. Like, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
It just annoys me that lowercase s with the thing, then capital H-E-R-T. But
we've got some quirks in our language as well.
The apostrophe? The thing apostrophe, is the apostrophe? Yeah. It's called an apostrophe.
It's called an apostrophe. Well, I didn't know if it was different in Europe because they just put that over just everybody.
No, that one's pretty universal. Right, whatever, it's the ones that go on the top. Yeah, and the
that
bottom
was universal. I think that's a universal one.
It's like a comma or a period. It's the same thing.
All right, Hertogenbosch, Stevie's Polish brother, Majerzak, takes out Demonauer. Stevie, what a run for your boy
here. What a run from countrymen.
Three top 10 wins, takes out Felix, Medvedev, and Demonauer. I believe I saw it on here. He is the second man in history to beat three top 10 men en route to a 250 final. This, kind of like John just said, you could be ranked 60 in the world on grass and you kind of challenge the guys that are top 10. Stevie, this is exactly what happened here. Tell me, you pronounce the name better than me. Majerzak.
Nobody pronounces the name well.
My shock.
My shock.
Majerzak.
Doesn't sound right.
It's literally just my shock.
My shock.
My shot.
My shot. Anyway, Stevie.
Shock.
What a run for this guy. And do you see these surprising results on the 250s at grass every year?
Yeah, you don't see maybe this surprising. I would have not taken him to win it, that's for sure. But it's the grass. It's the first week, you know, first ATP week. They had a challenger week last week. So some guys get some reps early. But if you can come out and you can play good tennis on grass, like, and catch these guys by surprise, it's kind of anything can happen in this first week. And it did. You know, his first couple rounds were, you know, they're not, you know, world beaters by name. And then he goes in and he beats three top 10 guys in a row, which is super impressive to win. I mean, to do that, to get a title on grass, you know, he was ranked 75 in the world, if I'm not mistaken, kind of going into the tournament. So this just solidifies himself into everything pretty much the rest of the year, all the Master Series and everything. But he played great. I mean, to take out Felix in straight sets, Medvedev in straight sets, and then Demon in a third set buster, that's a heck of an effort for a guy like trying to close out, you know, his biggest title and over, you know, three guys that have a lot of titles in the bank. So really impressive.
And the Demon loves grass. Watching this match, the Demon, we've done that segment on like ugly games. Demon's got an ugly game. The more I watch him play, he is so good and so effective. The way he hits the ball, can you guys agree with me on this?
I don't like his serve. He's got that serve's kind of funky.
No, I don't think it's ugly.
The strokes are like Medvedev. The way he hits his backhand, the forehand always looks late.
It's Medvedev-esque.
It is ugly, dude.
So much more compact.
But it's effective. But it's comp. It's you can have ugly compact strokes.
Yeah, but it's not like Medvedev. He's like an octopus. The thing is, it's going everywhere.
Okay, the demon's a mini octopus. Like
he's a squid.
You can have, yeah. It's, but no, it's the way he contorts his body. Like his strokes are shorter, but he does this stuff.
But he's good. It's obviously he's good. Like it doesn't hold him back.
He's one of the greatest movers the game's ever seen. Like literally.
Literally,
like,
yes.
That's how good. And so that's kind
of. And know what's fun about him too? He's like one of these. He's like, he moves on the baseline inside the court. He's not 15 feet behind the court like all the other good movers that when we talk about good movers, you're always like, oh, Monfils and these clay court guys. That's not him. He's like up on the baseline jetting around. He's always good on the grass. Do you have anything you want to add other than the Hertogenbosch?
No, but like this, my shock, he's one of those guys that just is, the grass just suits his game so well because he gets a little more pop on his serve, which he does not get on any other surface. So he's able to hold serve at a higher clip, like which everyone does. And he's got these short ground strokes. I remember last year at Wimbledon, he beat Ethan Quinn. He was either in the first or second round, like 1-2-2 or something. And I remember Ethan's coach, Brian Garber, telling me like, we just got our tails kicked by this guy. He was unbelievable. So he's just one of those guys that's just, he's a grass court, you know, fiend, sort of like Mannarino.
Like, I mean, to my previous point, he played last week a challenger on grass, made semi. So he had played seven matches leading into,
yeah, good point, Stevie.
Felix, yeah. Medvedev. Like, so he, if you're not comfortable at that point on grass, like you play seven matches, like made semis of the week before, like you're in good shape.
Yeah.
More so than the other
guys. You guys know how it is. Once you get grass court matches under your belt, you're not worried about the movement.
Nope.
You're not worried about
the rhythm
strokes.
Or anything, right? You just play.
Exactly. You just play. Where everyone else, if you're not confident on grass, you're thinking about everything, how to move and when to chip and when to survive. You know, like, you know, he's in that zone, I think, right now, but much like Ben Shelton's going to be.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of, I didn't realize he played the challenger beforehand. That's a lot of grass court matches. He's playing well.
Which challenger was he in?
The Birmingham. Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Birmingham. Birmingham.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to the WTA.
Ilkley was this week.
You want to move over to Ilkley?
No, I want to move over to the WTA and my home club at Queens hosted a WTA 500 this week. Congrats to everyone that was at the event. Hopefully, my fellow members at the club treated everyone well and everyone had a good time. Donna Vekic, lucky loser, takes out hometown girl Emma Raducanu. Everyone that probably listens to this knows what a lucky loser is, but for those that like don't exactly know how it works, if you lose in the last round of qualifying, they'll take, I don't exactly know how it works on the women's side, they'll take like the highest two players, highest ranked last two players that lost in the last round of qualifying, and they'll usually put it into a bowl or something, and they'll pull one out. And that's how you're put into the main draw. So someone pulls out of the main draw, they take the highest ranked players that lost in the last round of qualifying, randomly pull them out. And so Donna Vekic lost in qualifying, got into the main draw, and then went on a run, takes out Raducanu 6-0-7-6. Stevie, Raducanu's kind of back. Like, not back, but like, she won US Open, obviously, all those years ago. She has been playing well. This is like her first big result, I feel like, in a while. Is this going to add a ton of extra pressure to her going into Wimbledon in 2 weeks, or you think it's...
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like there's been a lot of pressure on her, but it just doesn't make sense. Like, she's so good. I don't know if the body just doesn't kind of hold up to the expectations or the pressure because she just doesn't seem to play enough. She'll have a big result like this, and then you won't see her name for like 2 months, which is a bummer. Like, you know, so grass should be a good surface for her. Comfortable confines. Queen's Club did an amazing job. The crowds were insane. Had some friends that actually went to the women's tournament who said it was awesome. But for her, I think this is only like her second final since that 2020 US Open, which is crazy in itself. But for the most part, I mean, Vekic played awesome. I mean, you lose in qualifying and then you get that second life and she made the most of it. It's the sixth woman to win as a lucky loser. It's doesn't happen too often. You know, most of the time you, as a lucky loser, you like win a match or two, maybe you kind of keep that luck or momentum going. But to go out and just kind of take care of business, it's got to be a good feeling to join Sam Querrey, I'm assuming, as a member of the Queen's Club. That's probably the most important title that she now has after the big week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said this either. A lot of people, maybe not now, think that Queens is the fifth biggest tournament in the world.
It's the fifth major.
It's the fifth major.
In 2010, that's what it was considered.
I'm not sure on the women's side if it has quite the gravitas that it does on the men's side, but it's a...
Ooh, big word.
Yeah, right?
That's a good one.
But yeah, congrats to Vekic. So she took out Bolter and Raducanu, back-to-back Brits.
Good news for Vekic as well. Like, winning that tournament obviously wasn't on her radar maybe like a week ago, but now she's seeded at Wimbledon. I mean, she'll be top 32 and probably seeded at Wimbledon, which is like...
What was the cut for that tournament?
I don't know what the cut was. That's a
question. I don't know what the cut. We don't know what the cut is for most of the men's tournament.
That was a stupid question.
You're always very bullish on Rybakina. She lost in the quarters to Bolter. Hasn't made it past a quarter since winning Stuttgart like 7 weeks ago. Are you panicking now?
No.
Mm-mm. No panic.
I'm not.
I mean, Sam has Vekic in the top three favorites at Wimbledon.
No, I don't. Top four.
I think with Vekic, though, it just goes to show how close the margins are, right? Like, someone who loses in qualies can go on and like get in, as you're talking about, and dominate the main draw. Like, the gap between someone really good, like to high rank, to someone in the qualies is not that big, you know. So, but she probably was I think she kept her head, right? She kept her head after qualies, you know, maybe believed that she could get a lucky loser, and you know, she continued her healthy habits, much like Kachava. Guys, the one thing that I try to stay consistent on is like morning routine, whether it's walking or running. I don't really run anymore, but it's a non-negotiable like daily ritual. Like, especially with my wife and I, to get some fresh air and clear my head before the day gets crazy. Like, I'm in a place right now. The air is super crisp here. The walk is going to happen after this podcast. So once summer travel kicks in and the schedules shift, you got to keep up with those healthy habits because they get very tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And because that's usually when it falls apart. When you're on the go, you're out of your element, and suddenly your normal wellness routine doesn't just fit in anymore.
No, especially with nutrition. Everyone cheats, right? Everyone's at home. You like say you're going to eat well. You're always going to the snack cabinet. I do it. I'm guilty of it, but not anymore. This is what you got to do. When your body's craving something good, check out Kachava.
Yeah, Kachava has these travel packs that have been a total game changer. Obviously, easy to pack. Their amazing all-in-one nutrition shake is in one single packet. So you can just throw it in my bag and keep the wellness ritual up with myself anywhere.
All right, so check this out. This one packet provides incredible nutrition. This is what's in the packet. Plant-based protein, fiber, vitamins, minerals, greens, probiotics, omegas, and electrolytes. Plus, they have six awesome flavors. It's all the flavors you like. Chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut, strawberry. But you literally get everything in every packet.
And it's clean, premium fuel. No fillers, no nonsense, and no artificial flavors or sweeteners. It's just super simple way to help support your energy, digestion, strength, metabolism, mind, and immunity while you travel.
Yep. Sam, you're a big protein guy. We know that, right?
Yes.
But for me, it just gives you like peace of mind so you can stay on track and keep up. As we talk about, it's all about those healthy habits. And they have this risk-free, love it guarantee so you can try it completely stress-free.
So take your daily ritual with you as you go. Go to kachava.com and use code NOTHINGMAJOR for 15% off your first order.
That's Kachava. K-A-C-H-A-V. Vay? Dang it. I'm starting again. That's Kachava. K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com. Code nothing major. All right. Thanks to our partners at Kachava.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, that's Winner's Circle. Let's move on now to major news. There was one massive news story last week, and that was Serena Williams making her return in Queens. She played doubles with Vicky Mboko. Isner, they won their first round. They beat they beat Routcliffe and Melin Car Martinez. They were the three seeds, by the way. Serena looked pretty good. I mean, doubles isn't, it's not like it's 50% of the work that singles is. It's like 10% of the work. Let's be real with this, right? It's not like, it's not that physical, but
it's less physical than golf.
Yes, it is. But that just goes to show that like Serena at 44 years old, I know she only played one match because Mboko then got hurt and couldn't continue after that. They had to pull out. But like Serena, at least on the doubles court, I think with just one match that we've watched, just proved to everyone that she can play doubles with basically everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. She can play doubles and hopefully she can prove that she can play singles with everyone. You know, so, you know, it's smart to start on doubles. I give her a lot of credit to start on grass. We talked about how awkward grass is,
yeah,
especially at Queens Club when those courts are brand new. Mboko slipped and hurt her knee. I've been talking, Sam, I know you're a member there. These slips always seem to happen at Queens Club more than any other tournament. Happened to Mboko. Hopefully she's okay. But for Serena to go out there and have not played in so long to play doubles on this surface, very impressive. I'm sure her movement, or she felt like her movement wasn't great. You know, 44 years old. It's not going to be as good as it was 15 years ago, but to do it on grass, pretty encouraging. It's a little obviously it's very disappointing, actually. She wasn't able to play more matches. Everyone wanted to see that. The whole tennis world wanted to see that. But I mean, more so than her and Mboko winning the match, it's just seeing Serena Williams back on a like WTA match court. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It does, cool.
Seems like it's kind of fake, you know, like it's.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. It postpones her getting into the Hall of Fame by like five more years now, even with that one match. If she doesn't play ever again, it's five more years.
It's a bit of a Philip Rivers effect, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He came back for the Colts and he's got to wait five more years.
Yeah. By the way, Mboko, like not really okay. She like partially tore an MCL. She's out for the whole grass court season.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I know. I got to talk to the grounds crew at Queens and just. We might need to get some new grass in there.
So slippery.
The grass is optically beautiful, but it is tricky to move on. Like
they
it looks
almost
great
need
on
to
TV,
let the
like
members play on it for like a week before the tournament starts.
The guys are so lucky that the girls are wearing out the courts the week before.
Yeah.
I mean, because you know, if this was 10 years ago, I would play Queens if the WTA played the week before.
It doesn't change it as much as from what I heard from the guys said. It doesn't make that big of a difference.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Everyone
knows you stomp on the grass, the drier it gets and the footing gets.
Hey, I'm just going from what I've heard from guys on the ground after who played there last year after the first time the women's played, said it was still a pretty slippery court week two or, you know, 10 days in.
Stevie, being the journalist he is, has eyes and ears everywhere, all over the globe.
You got to ask the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah.
This is important.
Super hard.
Serena's playing with Muchova now this week at the Berlin Open. Stevie, do you think... It's been one match. If let's hypothetically say Serena wins a couple more doubles matches in Berlin, do you think she's going to play singles at Wimbledon?
No, just based on what kind of John's been talking about, like the movement is so hard on the grass, like to come out of retirement and then play singles on the grass as your first event just seems like a tall task. Because if you want to go out there, you want to look or, you know, you want to feel as if you are doing what you do best. And so I see her playing doubles, right? And then I see her potentially playing singles just on a more stable hard court in the States, maybe playing a couple matches and then the US Open kind of deal. So I don't see her playing singles at Wimbledon, but I hope I'm wrong because obviously if she does play singles at Wimbledon, the whole world will be watching, like every tennis person will be watching that match, likely to be on center and likely to be on that court, and which is what she deserves.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to play singles either.
No. The internet's never lied to me, but I feel like I saw that maybe her and Venus were playing doubles at Wimbledon. I don't know if that's confirmed.
They've had
some tough luck with Venus was playing doubles at Roland Garros with Baptiste.
Yeah.
Oh,
she hurt her knee, so maybe they just need to stick
together.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good point.
The other news this week was Sinner. He's among some of the top players to consider boycotting the U.S. Open mixed doubles. Remember last year, the U.S. Open mixed doubles was a huge hit. All the singles players played. This is kind of like a nothing statement, I feel like, considering not boycotting the U.S. Open mixed double. He didn't even play it last year.
This is the biggest nothing burger of all time.
This is the biggest nothing burger. These players with their fake boycotts, like it's like the Roland Garros.
Yeah, he's going to consider pulling out of like Winston-Salem as well, like the week before. Yeah, like, what are we doing?
I will say that little bit of pressure in Roland Garros, if you want to call it that, Wimbledon increased their prize money a pretty significant amount.
Yeah, but 20%, didn't it? Not 20%.
No, 16%.
16%, yeah.
I could be wrong on this as well. I don't know how you guys feel.
The boycott, they wanted a $20 million. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
The boycott at Roland Garros, like media, I don't think had anything to do with Wimbledon. They're not going to just raise it by that much money, like based on 2 days. Like, this has been in the works. Or am I off on this?
No, I think you're right.
They didn't have a board meeting like that Monday and be like, oh, like, we've got to raise money, or they're not going to talk to the press. Like, I just don't see that.
I don't think it was, right? Like, it was like, it wasn't the press boycott that did it. It was just the momentum. I actually think the symbolic 15 minutes that all the players participated in at Roland Garros, I think it's done something.
But it has to be done together. Like, everyone needs to be involved.
Well, like, yeah. I don't think everyone was involved, but look at Wimbledon. They increased their prize money by a significant margin.
But I'm saying everybody has to be involved. Like, everybody has to be on the same page.
Yeah,
all the time.
I think what Stevie's saying, like, if Sinner doesn't play the mix, it's not a big deal because he didn't play it last year. But if the core group of 16 players that played the mixed doubles last year don't play, then they have an issue because it was successful last year.
If the 14 of the 16 singles players don't play, like, then it's not going to be a success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they go to the U.S. Open and say, hey, Sinner,
it's interesting
Alcaraz,
that
Sabalenka,
that's the thing that they would. Like, yeah. I mean, the mixed doubles was a resounding success and not a lot of work to try to win $1 million total combined as a team.
Yeah. I think that mixed doubles means a lot to the U.S. Open, though. It's like their thing. They created their initiative. It's like very important.
It's like the
one-point
tournament in Aussie. You know, it's their thing. Exactly.
Exactly.
But I mean, having said that, so what is the first round prize money at Wimbledon? Does anyone, you guys?
They put it out the other day. We don't have it. I think it's like probably $100,000.
It's probably more than that, maybe.
In the pound.
Yeah.
How many stones is it?
But it's significant.
It's a conversion rate these days to USD.
I love stones. Stone is my favorite unit of measurement. The Brits do a couple things right.
A first round prize money this year will be £80,000, $107,000.
US dollars.
That's a 21% increase over 2024 prize money, so 2 years ago. So not enough, but still good. Alcaraz, speaking of prize money, he's got apparently like a big medical checkup this week. He's been spotted lately without the brace, which is good news. They've been so quiet about this, which I would be too if I were him. He doesn't owe anyone an explanation on like timeline or anything. But so we've got the question here. When do we think he's going to return? It's hard to even ask that because he hasn't given anyone an update, nor do I don't think he owes it. What do you guys think about this? Do you think he's feeling better or not, or do we just don't know?
I don't think he knows. He might be feeling better, but it's all about what the MRI says and what the doctor says.
Yeah.
We got a right wrist injury. He has to be so careful. He has to err on the side of caution. You've seen what these right wrist injuries can do to players. Dominic Thiem comes to mind, right? You could very easily not be the same out there. Del Potro hurt his wrist as well. His was the left, and he couldn't really ever fully come back from it. So I would imagine his team is exercising complete caution. You don't want this to rear its head again. He needs to be 100%, not 90%, not 95%. It needs to be 100%. So we'll see what this world-renowned doctor that he's going to see in Barcelona says. I don't think even Carlos knows. He might be feeling a little better, right? But movement still looks good on the beach and hitting lefty forehands.
Yeah,
he still looks explosive. But
that's for sure. And we all know there's that saying: if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Carlos is broke. He needed to fix it. But with shipping, it's a little different. Most businesses never actually check if it's working efficiently. That's not the case with ShipStation.
Yeah, and that's where costs and times add up. ShipStation automatically compares rates across UPS, USPS, and FedEx on every order with savings up to 90%.
Yeah, most teams do not realize how much time they're losing too, which is everyone's most valuable commodity. It's time. Juggling orders, labels, inventory, and returns across different tools takes a lot of time.
ShipStation is a one-stop shop, right? They do the management, the inventory, and the returns. Everything's centralized, nothing's scattered. It works seamlessly.
And it connects to over 200 marketplaces and tools you're already using. You just plug it in and go with automated rate shopping built in.
And once everything is in one place, you're not bouncing between systems. It's all the same system. And even returns become way easier to manage. Returns are always such a pain, not with ShipStation.
If I was going to run an e-commerce business, which I could do, I think. I don't know what I would sell. Maybe these hats. This is exactly how I'd want to do it, right? Keep things simple. I kind of want to start an e-commerce business, just a little one, and to see if I could get it off the ground and running. But this is exactly how I'd run my e-commerce business.
Well, Sam's business and over a million other businesses already use ShipStation to scale fulfillment while saving you time and money. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money with ShipStation.
So get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with our code NothingMajor.
That's ShipStation.com, code NothingMajor. ShipStation.com, code NothingMajor. Taxes and fees apply.
All right. Say ShipStation three times fast.
Yeah. Anyone? Sally sold ShipStation at the seashells.
ShipStation.
At the ShipStation.
That's pretty good. All right. Yeah. Thanks actually to our partner at ShipStation. That's major news. Let's move on now to major opinions. We're going to start with Stevie, our Stevie stats. I've missed the Stevie stats. We don't get them during something major. It's been like 3 weeks. So Stevie, hit us with something good.
We've got the best winning percentages on grass. Just the HB Tour, no challengers among active players. And I guess you guys want to take a stab at who the top couple are.
Novak.
He's number two at 85%.
Okay.
Back-to-back Wimbledon champion, Carlos Alcaraz.
He's 89%. And number three, he's Italian.
Berrettini
is number three at 77%. Sinner is just at 74%, winning 29 of 39 matches. So got to come out hot on the grass or just play Wimbledon and win it like Carlos does.
Yeah. Or Novak.
Just do that.
Novak seems to do that a lot too.
Or Novak. John, Novak's got a healthier number than the rest of these guys combined, basically.
Yeah, he does. And a lot more matches. All right, that's Stevie Stats. John, we've also missed your serve bot of the week for the last 3 weeks. What do you got for us?
Bots love the grass. Everyone knows that. It is bot season, and I'm going to give the bot of the week to Ben Shelton, who's not a bot. We've been over this. He's not a bot. But his semifinal win was kind of botty. Three tiebreakers, no breaks whatsoever. He landed 21 aces. This is a semifinal win against Lehechka. We talked about the tiebreaker, he won 16-14 in the second set, then wins in a third set tiebreaker. At one point, he won. This is the best stat. 21 aces is great, but at one point, he won 20 consecutive service points.
That's pretty good.
Against Lehechka. So, bot. I mean, three tiebreakers, no
that's
breaks.
A bot.
Ben, not a bot, but you were in the semifinals, dude. But congrats. It got you to the title.
All right, my queries query. Before I get into queries query, the World Cup's going on. U.S. beat Paraguay 4-1. We looked like a top five soccer team in the world. What? Did we not? That could have been 9-1. We missed a lot of goals. I don't want to overreact, but Tom in the group chat.
Number one.
All right, Tom, one of our producers, is British. He literally just like, you did look very, very good. So
it's one game.
All of a sudden, I'm like, are we a favorite to maybe win this thing?
No.
It depends on
what do you know about soccer?
Look, if the United States can get out of group play, it's not
which
a guarantee.
We will. We're in the weakest group.
No, it's a guarantee, dude.
I know.
It's a guarantee. The top three, they take the top three teams now. It's like a participation trophy to get out of group play.
It's not the top two?
No. They take the third place
teams. This guy doesn't know ball.
You guys, you don't know ball.
In some.
They take like some third place teams with the most points or goal differentials from. So you can literally, as long as you don't lose all three games, you probably get into.
They added more teams this year.
Are you sure about that?
I am 1,000% sure.
So it's not just two out of every group.
No.
And then you go from there.
Nope.
We basically just guaranteed more teams and a stupid water break.
The water break is ridiculous.
I guess
I don't know. It's hot in the States.
Let me move on to my question. Ben Shelton, I'm going back to Shelton. He won the clay court event in Munich and got a car for winning that. Then he just won the grass court event in Stuttgart, got a car. Anytime you win a tournament in Germany, you get a car, you know? Do we think Shelton, fast forward 6 months, he's going to keep both those cars? He's going to sell the cars? What do we think Shelton's doing with the cars?
I think he sells them.
Sells them back to the dealership.
Because I think I feel like Ben's a car guy, like likes his cars. You don't want like a car that you didn't pick. You know what I mean? Like you sell it and then you go buy yourself whatever you want.
Dude, he's got to pay for the shipping back to the States.
Well, we don't know that. Maybe they pay for the shipping. As much as we like
ShipStation, they're not shipping cars.
Okay? Are they not?
I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm wrong.
Don't be talking about ShipStation and what they can't do. They're our partner.
I just don't think they're shipping cars, but they should get into it for Ben.
They should get into a good pivot.
I think you can sell it back to the dealership, right? I mean,
Or else you got to pay the taxes on it.
We got to ask someone because there's always those. We've heard you can sell it back and get cash. I mean, maybe some. I wouldn't do that if I'm the dealership. I'm like, no, I'm not giving you cash. Like, you got to keep the car. It's your problem now.
Why? Because they can keep the car and then sell it.
Yeah. Well, they can do that on their own. If I'm the dealership, I'm like.
Yeah, but you're not taking like full value. You're just like, all right, I don't want this car, which is kind of a ridiculous thing to say, but like. Hypothetically speaking, if I was in his shoes, I wouldn't take the car. It's just because I have a car.
Yeah, it's the grind to get that. Like, yeah, if you want like cool. Delray and they gave you a Porsche there, like maybe he can drive it home. But I feel like it's hard.
My big ass in a Porsche.
It is cool to say you won the car. Yeah. All right. Well, cool if we ever talk to him, we'll figure that out. All right. Let's move on to our last segment, transition game. This week in Queens, it's the 500 week for the men, Queens and Halle. Queens is a weak field. Both these tournaments usually have a very strong field. Queens has a weak field. Just so you guys know, I'm going to read you the top eight seeds. Demonar, Lehechka, Menchik, Davidich Fokina, Hodar, Fies, Cerundolo, Tommy Paul. Nothing against those guys. They're all great players, and they would have had Alcaraz had he not gotten hurt. But compared to Halle, which has Zverev, Ogier Aliassime, Shelton, Medvedev, Fritz, Koboli, Rublev, Bublik, what do you think? Is this just like a coincidence, a one-off year, or are we getting into that? You always hear like you pay more taxes. If you're in London a longer amount of time, they can start taxing your endorsements. Do you think that has something to do with it, or do you think this is just a random one-off year where Queens doesn't have a good field?
I think this is a random one-off year because, you know, when we were playing, I felt like I was ranked like 35 a lot and was like hoping to get into Queens and never did because the cut was like 26. You know, like it was always stronger. I just think it's the way the rankings have kind of shaken out with just who's at the top, right? If you look at Queens, you know, forever, there was Murray. You'd have, you know, Carlos has always played it. Jack Draper the last few years. Musetti's played it the last couple of years. So you've had these big name guys or like big marquee guys play it that are either hurt or not playing. I mean, I know Draper, well, I'm assuming he's playing. He pulled out of last week, but I think it's just more that. It's just kind of the way the pendulum has swung. And then in Halle, you've had guys that play Halle every year. Sasha's going to play it. Ben plays every tournament in Germany, it seems like. Medvedev has always played. Rublev has always played. So it just seems as if they're just kind of going to where they know. They're not kind of flip-flopping back and forth. But I think it's just kind of the way the wind has blown this year.
I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
I don't think Queens is that much weaker.
Okay.
It's a name recognition, but if you look
recognition, exactly.
I'm saying like Hodar Tommy Paul's the 8 seed in Queens, like.
But like, you see Hodar there, and you're like, well, that's maybe surprising, but he's kind of comparable. Strong.
I really do. Like I like Felix is the 2 seed in Halle.
Let's go down the list. The 1 seed, Demonar and Zverev. Who wins?
I mean, Zverev's Grand Slam champ.
All right, we're gonna keep going. You want to play this game with me? 2 seed, Lehechka versus Felix. Who wins?
Give me Lehechka.
No, in name recognition, it's Felix.
Oh.
The 3 seed, Menchik versus Ben Shelton. It's Ben. So Halle's now up 3-0. The 4 seed in Queens, Davidich Fokina against Medvedev.
In name recognition, Halle's got it. But in tennis, John is right, dude.
But it's all about name recognition. That's the whole name of this segment.
Oh, okay.
It is? I thought it was a transition game, not name recognition game.
The sexy players are in Halle.
But I think Queens are, I mean, we're talking.
Okay, they have one. They have one. They have Tommy Paul.
Of sexiness. Yeah, it's a 7
Tommy
out of
Paul's
10
the ultimate sexiness guy, but that's just one of them. He doesn't. One Tommy doesn't overtake 8 guys at Halle. Maybe he does. I don't know. On the sexiness scale, but you get what I'm saying.
I do not.
As far as name recognition, they're all in Halle.
Whatever, I have no idea what you're saying anymore.
In Berlin, all the women are in Berlin, especially the Americans. Sabalenka's playing. Then you have Rybakina, Pegula, Anna Samova, Coco Gauff, Svitolina. It's like a major over there in Berlin. How many tournaments are there in Germany, by the way, in the course of like an 8-month period or 8-week period?
There's they love lot. Their grass in Germany.
It's but they love the clay too. The women have that event in Stuttgart, and then the men have Munich, and the men have Hamburg, and then there's something in Bad Hamburg. I don't even know what that is at some point.
It's not the good one. It's good
Hamburg. It's not the good Hamburg.
But holy smokes. But a big week. Next Monday is going to be a fun show because we got it three bad big Hamburg. Tournaments.
There is a Bad Hamburg. I don't
care. It's a Bad Hamburg.
Dumbest name ever. Actually, Bad Hamburg is next week. Speaking of Bad Hamburg. So next week's show is going to be fun because we got all the big names are playing. But that's it for us. But also Thursday, we got a fun interview. Bah humbug. Thursday, we have an interview that we've already filmed with Deanna Schneider, Roland Garros semifinalist. It was a really fun one. More importantly, she North Carolina Wolfpack near
State.
John.
North Carolina State
Wolfpack. Near where John grew up, but that's gonna be a fun interview. That's coming out Thursday. As you guys know, we're Monday Thursday pod now, and that's it for what.
I had a comment. Where was I? I was at SMU doing something, and Grant Chin had his tennis camp going on, and in various age groups. I think that there were some 13 and 14 year olds. Three kids came up to me, said, "Love the pod." And love the Monday Thursday cadence. They didn't use the word cadence, but they said three of them. They said
smart
we like it on
there
Thursday.
In smart
so, Sam, all credit goes to you, dude.
Thank you. All right, well, everyone, hope you enjoy that episode. We're back on the regular Monday Thursday Schneider on Thursday, and we'll see you guys in a few days.
With the semis for John, the same for Sam, Stevie J won the run. Nothing major. Nothing major. Nothing major.
Hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.